Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, December 3rd, 2013, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Anastasia and Chris. Lavendar is celebrating her solar return during a little two-day vacation, but she'll be back with us next week. So happy solar return, Lavendar! Our featured guest this evening is Greg Prescott, creator of In5D Radio here on Blog Talk and In5D.com, which is the word in and the number 5 and then D, In5D.com, which is a massive, multifaceted portal of metaphysical information from some of the leading forward thinkers. Greg has written over 300 spiritually based articles for In5D.com, holds a master's degree in human services, and is a child and family therapist. He's hosting a major conference in Los Angeles called City of Angels Cosmic Awakening on January 29, 2014, featuring Coast to Coast's George Noory, Bashar, channeled by Daryl Anka, Laura Eisenhower, Barbara Lamb, Nora Harold, and Dr. Dream. Check out his website at in5d.com, and his Blog Talk radio show here on Blog Talk is called In5D Radio, and his show comes on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And before we bring Greg on, we'll have a short visit from Nancy Hertz, one of our Starseed family, who has written a new book called Broken Stone, A Real Fairy's Tale, which comes with its own CD of original music by her husband, Chris. You can find her book at BrokenStoneFairyTale.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Tate Publishers. At the top of the show, it's the Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing topics of interest to all of us Starseeds. We'd like to thank Fiona for hosting our switchboard this evening, and you're welcome to call in with comments or questions. The number to dial is 917-889-8292. And remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, we'd appreciate your support by clicking follow on our show page. Our main site, starseedhotline.com, has been coded for Starseed activation and holds a wealth of Starseed information in our vault. We also have a forum for Starseeds at starseedhotline.ning.com, and we'd like to thank Rose and Tammy for their great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed forum. You can find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go, or download them right from our show page archives. If you want to contact us privately, our toll-free number is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. If you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. And please allow us 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure that you get it. And if you'd like a Stage 2 reading to interpret those energies, please book that about 2 months ahead, because we do have a waiting list. So now I would like to introduce my co-hosts for the evening, Chris and Anastasia. Good evening, Anastasia and Chris.
Hi, good evening, ladies.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, this is fun.
Yeah. It's like musical chairs here.
Yes.
We have
such
multi-talented people here. We can switch around once in a while.
We're so talented. I love that. And I want to say good evening to our Starseed listeners. And I assume I'm going to start off with the news as usual, so I'll just get right into it. Well, the sun has quieted down again, everybody. There are no sunspots actively flaring. The Earth side of the sun is quiet. However, two sunspots called AR-1908 and AR-1909 do have beta magnetic fields that harbor energy for moderately strong eruptions. Now, today, December 3rd, there were 1,443 potentially hazardous asteroids, and the Fireball Sky Network reported 18 fireballs in its today's report. 17 were sporadic fireballs, and one was from the November Omega Orionid shower. So that's what's going on in the sky. Lots of booms all over the world, lots of meteor sightings. I talk about that every week. Today we're going to talk about some other stuff. But I want to start tonight's news segment really by talking about the neuroscience of the gut. This is an article that came from Scientific American, and it is absolutely amazing. You know, one of the good things that's happening in this present day is our awareness of health among alternative practitioners and aware people, and even sort of leaning into the mainstream, sort of, information that's going to help us all be a lot more healthy. And one of the focus in recent times has been our intestines and how to take care of our intestines. Well, you know, people have often told us to listen to our gut instincts, but now research suggests that our guts can have more impact on our thoughts. Get this, on our thoughts than we ever realized. Now, scientists have recently reported in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences that normal gut flora, the bacteria that inhabits our intestines, has a significant impact on brain development and subsequent adult behavior. And this is another thing that's absolutely amazing because, you know, we as human beings think of ourselves as a highly evolved species of conscious individuals, but we are far less human, according to some scientists, than most of us really appreciate. And why? Because the bacterial cells that inhabit our skin and gut outnumber human cells by 10 to 1.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this is wild. We're walking germ factories, everybody. So, anyway, a Princeton University scientist compared the 30,000 human genes in the average human to the more than 3 million bacterial genes that inhabit us. And they concluded that we are at most 1% human. Now, these bacteria that inhabit us have been implicated in the development of neurological and behavioral disorders. They have an influence on our absorption of vitamin B6, which affects all of our systems. They modulate immune tolerance and influence anxiety levels. And now this newly developed biochemical test for autism is based in part upon the end products of, guess what, bacterial metabolism. So, and I haven't even covered a portion of what this article says. I just abbreviated it. It's amazing. Well, this new study that I started off talking about, this is the first one to extensively evaluate the influence of gut bacteria on the biochemistry and development of the brain. Now, when this team performed a comprehensive gene expression analysis of 5 different brain regions, they found that nearly 40 genes were affected by the presence of gut bacteria. Now, not only were these primitive microbes able to influence the signaling between nerve cells while, you know, put away far into the gut, they had an astonishing ability to influence whether the brain cells turn off or on specific genes. Is that amazing? These studies suggest that brain-directed behaviors, which influence the manner in which animals interact with the external world, can be deeply influenced by that animal's relationship with the microbial organisms that live in its gut. And the discovery that gut bacteria exert their influence on the brain, this is a major finding, and they say this will have important implications for the development of understanding brain disorders and human behavior. Wow.
That just opens all kinds of doors there.
All
we could spend the whole
doors.
Show talking about that one.
Yeah, isn't that amazing stuff?
Yeah,
makes you think, doesn't it? So I also want to tell you about, and this might have been mentioned before, and some of you probably are well familiar with this story, but I wanted to pass it along because we get new listeners all the time, and I wanted everybody to know that 3 ancient pyramids were discovered in the Antarctic by a team of American and European scientists. Now, I was looking at some photos of that on the Internet, and this is really amazing. You guys, this is not a mountain. This is a pyramid. And the first reports about the pyramids appeared in mass media last year, and there have been very few precious pictures that have been posted on the Internet and a little commentary here and there. But they're saying that this would serve as evidence that the ice-covered continent used to be warm enough to have had an ancient civilization living there. Really cool stuff. And they say at this time there is still very little known about these pyramids because the scientists in charge, they continue to keep silent about the discovery, and no details about the time frame of a proposed expedition has yet been offered. Now, you know, in case the researchers prove the pyramids are man-made structures, wow, maybe that's why they're being so quiet about it, because, you know, the discovery of that could bring about probably the biggest revision in human history as yet. So that is something we're all waiting to hear about. Just fascinating stuff. You know, we have to really say that history is not what we've been taught in school. Most of our listeners already know that. But thing after thing is being uncovered, discovered, excavated that's really challenging the mainstream story. And that's good. That's very good. And speaking of archaeology, you know, they have just released a study that was published today in the Journal of Time and Mind that reveals that Stonehenge may have been built by Stone Age men as a prehistoric center for music. They say that, and this is according to experts from London's Royal College of Art, that some of the stones sound like bells and drums and gongs when they're played or hit with hammers. Now, the archaeologists have often wondered why people would drag stones that far, being as large as they were, and what their purpose was. But some scientists are thinking that this discovery may be it. They believe these rocks are sonic in nature and were specifically picked because of their acoustic energy, because they make the variety of noises. They say it's from metallic to wooden, and they cover a number of notes. So that's a little new news about Stonehenge. Very interesting. I'd love to hear those things play.
What a concept.
And, you know, when we are very well familiar about healing with sound and some of the other metaphysical properties of sound and the energies that it carries, the things that it can do, you know, they're just scraping the surface here with this. So, but it is an interesting finding that they have found that these stones play notes. Maybe just
Gosh,
another
you know,
piece.
It seems like a lot
puzzle.
Of work to go through to do a gig, you know.
Right, exactly. That's for sure. You thought
dragging
you had
those
it
instruments
tough.
All that way. that's the musician in me making
it. It is indeed.
Yeah, I mean,
so we'll just remember that. Well, you know, there's a lot more mystery to it than that. But I thought that was
completely, completely. I mean, it has to be some kind of extraterrestrial intervention with teleportation because
or interdimensional,
you know,
the, even absolutely. Well, I have some news to report to you that may be a bit disconcerting, but we've all got to know about it. And this is about the Monterey Bay in California, off the California coast. And I excerpted this story from the Duncan Herald, or the Deccan Herald, excuse me. And scientists are saying now that there are, in fact, people, the population is noticing, they can't help but notice, that there are many, many sea animals that are moving up onto the California West Coast. They say that something strange is really happening because the sea animals are bum-rushing the shoreline. It began with the anchovies, miles and miles and miles of them, and then the sea lions by the thousands, and they have come from up and down the California coast, and then pelicans arrived, and then there were just a gazillion bottlenose dolphins that came behind them, and then even whales. They say the arrival of the whales just astounded people because more than 200 humpback whales appeared in the harbor off of Monterey Bay. And this, I guess recently even a pod of, they say, 19 orca whales showed up. So for about 3 months, Monterey and the nearby coastal areas in that region have played host to just a huge convocation of sea life that scientists are saying is unprecedented. And I really think, folks, that the answer that they're looking for is likely found in the question. And the question would be, is the Fukushima radiation plume driving the sea life towards shore? This is something that we really need to be thinking about. As I've told you before in previous programs, there are reports that vast portions of the Pacific are dead waters with not any life in sight. And then to suddenly see all of these animals appearing within 3 months, one has to know that something's going on out there in the ocean, that they're trying to get away from that. Not natural behavior. So you all need to be aware of that going on. And I mentioned before about the earthquakes occurring in Texas during the month of November, and there's been no official explanation of the cause of these quakes. A lot of residents are pointing to natural gas drilling that's happening, but a geophysicist with the National Earthquake Information Center said that, you know, we have to do more testing before we need to make a connection. But here's the news about this, and that is that the state of Massachusetts is not waiting for more testing. Now, an environmental committee at Massachusetts State House has approved a bill that opposes, that puts in place a 10-year ban on fracking for natural gas. Now, why are they doing this? Because the earthquakes in Texas has raised new concerns over the controversial drilling technique. It's called the Massachusetts Fracking Moratorium Bill, and it has yet to be approved by the lawmakers and signed by the governor. But they took this move last Friday, the day after Texas was struck by a 3.6 magnitude quake, just another one after all of the others that occurred in the last 3 weeks. So even though Massachusetts, thankfully, is taking action, Texas is still living on the edge, wondering when the next one will occur. So that's good, though. We're having some legislation to protect people. Not only will that protect against earthquakes, but it's also going to protect water, which is one of our most precious, if not the most precious, resource on the planet. So that's good news. Somebody's taking action. And for all of you people here interested in what you eat, this is going to be our final story for tonight, but it's fascinating. Sweden has become the first Western nation to develop national dietary guidelines that reject the popular low-fat dogma in favor of a low-fat, or excuse me, low-carb, high-fat nutrition advice. Now, the switch in this dietary advice by Sweden followed the publication of a 2-year study by the Independent Swedish Council on Health and Technology Assessment. And this committee reviewed 16,000 studies that were published up through May 31st of this year. Now, that's 16,000 studies. And as Americans listening to this program, we know that that's just the opposite of all the advice we have been given as far back as we can remember to eat no fat and not worry about carbs. But, you know, there are so many studies that are indicating that that's wrong advice and that that's probably based on financial interests tied to grain production in this country, and it's not politically correct because nobody makes money, or a lot of people don't make money, should we suddenly quit eating bread and high-carb things and sugar, soft drinks, and so on. That affects a lot of companies' bottom-line profits. Well, this Swedish newspaper that published some of the findings and was translated in English has this to say about the findings, and I'm giving you a quote. They say that butter, olive oil, heavy cream, and bacon are not harmful foods, just the opposite. Best thing for those who want to lose weight, and there are no connections between a high fat intake and cardiovascular disease. Now, yesterday, the Swedish Council on Health Technology Assessment just said that it's going to change its guidelines entirely, and it's going to recommend to the public that they people ingest a low-carb, high-fat diet as the most effective weapon against obesity, diabetes, inflammatory conditions, and other health issues. And this expert committee was headed up by 10 doctors, and they say that several of these doctors were skeptical of the low-carb diets at the beginning of the investigation, but they were converted by the findings. And to conclude this article, I want to tell you some things that we're often accustomed to hearing, such as calories are calories no matter where they come from. We've all heard that. So if I eat a candy bar versus an egg, for instance, the calories equate and it doesn't matter. They say that is incorrect. They also say that our phrase about it's all about the balance between calories in and calories out is also not correct. So the old saying that people are fat because they don't move enough, that's not true either. They say that the Swedes themselves have, you know, they traditionally have pretty high fat foods. Swedish meatballs are not exactly low in fat. But in Sweden, it's estimated that only 14% of the population are obese, compared with about 40% in the United States. And so they're probably going to get a lot thinner after they establish this official guideline, dietary guideline for the Swedes. Because let's face it, people do follow what they're told. And so when we get guidelines of this kind or that kind, the average person generally follows them. And, you know, you see the results in the United States. We have such a terrible record of health in this country, which is deteriorating as I speak. And, you know, we need to ask then, will the U.S. follow suit, adapt these guidelines? No. No, they won't. Very unlikely. So it's up to us then to monitor our own health and do what we know is right for ourselves and consider some of the data that's coming out. And there's a lot of things on the Internet about the paleo diet and so on. But I just wanted to share that finding with you from Sweden, because that is a government that's taking a stand and reversing the traditional Western viewpoint about what's healthy and what isn't. And it was backed by a lot of studies. So that's the news for tonight.
Well, and Anastasia, thank you so much for bringing some very interesting articles. And we will be turning it over now. We have a guest who's coming by for just a short visit to talk about her new book, and then we have Greg Prescott with us. So, Anastasia, thank you so much for the Starseed news, and we will look forward to more next week.
We'll talk next week. Good night,
okay.
Everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, so we have one of our dear Starseed family here with us just to tell us a little bit about her new book. Her name is Nancy Hertz. Hello, Nancy. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi.
Thanks so much for joining us. And I just am so glad to hear your voice again after spending time with you on two of our Crystal Quests. And tell us a little bit about how your book came to be and anything else that you would like to talk about it.
I'd be delighted. And first of all, happy birthday, Lavendar. Miss you. Well, the book came about in kind of a unique way. Where I live are great big cemeteries, and city cemeteries with huge monuments and large trees and flowering bushes. It's just gorgeous. It's a wonderful place to walk, and in fact they give tours through these cemeteries. My husband took off one day walking through the cemetery on his lunch hour, and usually he has it, you know, a few people in there, but this one day he heard a special sound. It was musical, and he turned around to see where it was coming from, looked at his phone, it wasn't that, didn't see anybody, and was really puzzled as to where this music was coming from, and decided to follow the music. And it pulled him across the cemetery into this poor section of the cemetery called a potter's field. And it was overgrown, the stones were broken, worn away, except for one particular headstone that had broken and fallen on the ground, but its writing was still very legible. And he was drawn to it and got down on his knees and kind of brushed the grass and the leaves to the side and read the name. And it said, Fairy Bright Gordon, April 22nd, 1917, to January 18th, 1934, Mother's Darling Asleep in Jesus.
Wow.
And the hair kind of stood up on the back of his neck, and he stood up and kind of shook himself off and headed back to work. And that night, he was kind of standing on one foot and then the other, and I could tell he had something to say. And I said, what is it? And he says, well, I don't know how you're going to take this, but this is what happened to me today. And he told me the story, and I got chills. He said, you know, it almost inspires a song. I said, you need to get back into songwriting. And I said, you know, I think there's a story here that needs to be told. This is a forgotten person. This is a little girl that died at age 17 and is buried all alone. And so the book and the CD were born. And it was published by Tate Publishers, came out in October of this year. And what an adventure it has been.
Wow. So Chris has a CD of original music that accompanies the book?
Yes, and it's pretty astronomical. Mm-hmm. In fact, when we were in Arkansas the last time, coming down from the Coleman Mines with our favorite bus driver who always shares music, I brought the CD and I gave it to him, and he listened to it and put it in on our way back down from the Coleman Mine. And we were heading down the mountains listening to the music, and it was magical. It kind of got silent in the bus, and I could see people's mouths kind of dropping open because they hadn't heard anything like it before. And it was absolutely perfect coming down the mountain, winding around and listening to that very ethereal music. It's amazing. I don't know where it came from, where he got it from, but you know, yes, I do.
yeah, so do we.
Right.
Had you done any digging around to find out more about this little girl?
Yes, we did. We went to the library, the Old City Library. We couldn't find anything. We even dug into old yearbooks, seeing if we could find like a high school graduation or anything. Could not find it. We did all kinds of searches, and she just really wasn't there, except that a cousin went into Ancestry.com and found one small tidbit of information on her, and she was born in North Carolina, and she actually had various names, last names, but it was always Fairy Bright, which was so unusual. I mean, I've never heard anybody name that before, but mm-hmm. that was her actual name. But once I started writing, it just came flowing through. It was like she was with me, working with me when I was writing her story. And in fact, I did some illustrations, some paintings for the book, and one of them is her portrait. And I had taken pictures of various young gals, using them as reference material, and I had them tacked along my piece of paper, using them just kind of as guidelines. And she is not any of them. She is maybe part of all of them, but it kind of helped mm-hmm. me, guide me, you know, with noses and eyes and all that. Well, one evening, a couple days after I started working on her portrait, I came up the steps and I passed by my studio, and I happened to look in, and I saw her sitting on the easel, and I got huge chills. It was almost like she was saying, "You don't know how close you are." And I thought, oh my gosh, what if I really did capture her? What if she looked like this? It's been quite a fabulous experience working with Fairy Bright.
Well, I mean, do you feel like you've had any kind of, well, that was kind of telepathic contact in just, you know, getting chills. But
mm-hmm.
do you feel her essence around you at all?
I do. And another incident that I had was a trip that I made to Ireland after I had written the book. I hadn't had it through the publisher yet. I went there on 11/11/11 and traveled south and west Ireland with a friend. A beautiful gal. She's Cherokee, an indigo elder, very psychic. And she has this habit of, when she travels, we just go. There's no rules made. We just get in the car and go, which is pretty disconcerting for me because I'm quite organized, but went with the flow. Well, one day I got tired of being in the car and driving on the left-hand side, the curvy roads, and plus I had spotted a real cute downtown. So I said, you go your way, I'll go my way. And we happily took off in our opposite directions. But amazingly, met up in the hotel at the same time, about 1:30 in the afternoon. And she was all excited. She said, I found this castle. I found this castle. I have to show you this castle. So we went and drove out of town, down these dirt roads. I have no idea how she even found it, and pulled up to this huge castle. And I said, that's not a castle. That's a resort that looks like a castle. I said, the castle must be on the ground somewhere. So we took off and went through this gate and back, wound around through these paths through the woods. She kind of went one way. I went the other way. I turned a corner, and I stopped in my tracks. And here was this old, old, small castle sitting on this bluff with this river down below. And I looked at the scene, and I felt what I was looking at. I said, oh my gosh, this is the river I have been looking for my whole life. I recognized it. And I walked around the castle, and I could see Fairy Bright. I could see her life. I could see her as a child, and I knew that's where she came from. That's where her essence came from. I just broke down into tears. It was an amazing day.
Wow. So,
and so her story is laid. I'm sorry.
I'd say the writing of this book has really taken you on a journey of your own.
Oh, yes. Yes, it has. It's been a great learning experience.
So you have a website called BrokenStoneFairyTale.com.
I do.
And the book is also available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and from Tate Publishing. And as you said, this is a story about a transformation and a revelation,
mm-hmm.
not only about
yeah.
her, but about yourself as the journey that took you through your own transformation in writing this book as part of your own awakening.
Yes.
Oh, and it's
and,
just Christmas.
Right. Yep.
Well, that's great.
And if you order through BrokenStoneFairyTale.com, you can request that it be signed, and you can have it dedicated to anyone special, and hopefully yourself. And you can get the CD through BrokenStoneFairyTale.com also. And I will send it off wrapped in tissue with a little ribbon, and it makes a wonderful gift. And it was my intention that this book is a gift for someone you care about. Hopefully the person themselves as well as someone else. And I have found that once people read it, they are quick to share it with another person, a loved one. So I do encourage that. I do have limited amounts, but I would love to sign it and write a little note to somebody special.
Well,
and
that's
of
crazy.
Course, the other two, you can get the Kindle version, but I would suggest you get the book itself because the book has power. And I've had people tell me when they hold the book, they feel it. They feel something in there. There's something magical.
Mm.
And you can spend your time looking at the paintings. You can read the lyrics inside. And it's a book that you can read more than once. And when you go back, you'll get something else, another message. It's on many levels. So that would be my suggestion. But I hope people enjoy it. I've gotten many, many good reviews on it and requests for a sequel. So guess what? There are characters that say, I want to speak too. So that's what I'm working on now.
Well, Nancy, that is just great, and we're so proud of you for completing this project and for the journey that you've been on for yourself. So thank you so much for stopping by this evening. And once again, it's BrokenStoneFairyTale.com,
and you can get your own personalized autographed version or a gift for someone else.
Very good. And thank you also for all of you for supporting authors. Words have power, and you understand that, and I have to commend you for that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy. And you have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks to Nancy. And right now we are going to bring on our featured guest this evening is Greg Prescott. Hello, Greg. You are on the air.
Namaste, and I'd like to wish Lavendar a very happy birthday.
Well, I know that she's going to make sure that it's happy. Yeah, she's just really taking care of some personal wishes of her own. So, Lavendar.
Yeah, she's working on her solar return wishes right now, I'm sure, manifesting whatever it is she wants for the upcoming year.
That's right. And we're just going to watch it unfold here. So
in the news, Anastasia was talking about Earth changes, and I'd just like to touch on that real quick. You know,
okay.
It makes me wonder about the current magnetic pole shift and what it might do to the hemisphere of our brains. Now, the last magnetic pole shift was about 700,000 years ago or more, according to Drumbelow Melchizedek. So there's really no recorded history of what it did to us. So it looks like one of two things will happen. The first one is that our minds will be erased, but the second option is much more intriguing, where the hemispheres of our brains begin to interact with one another in ways we've never seen, and we're finally able to tap into all of our potential abilities. I was curious, what do you think about that?
Well, you know what? My first hit was the blending of masculine and feminine, with the left and the right and the hemispheres, and I mean, this is it's a major operation mission going on the planet right now, helping to rebalance masculine and feminine, having had this imbalance for centuries after centuries after millennia, and that was my first hit, was that it's part of the return of the balance, and you know, left and right, masculine, feminine. That was the first thing that hit my mind when I heard you say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, and certainly, if you have a blending and a balance of the best of both worlds, and I've also heard about the Olympic brain. Is that similar to what you're talking about?
No, I'm not familiar with that. Tell me more about it.
Well, it's a brain that uses both sides, and there's no separation. It's like one whole thing. And I've heard it called the Olympic brain, if there are some people alive today that don't have that partition with left
right,
and right, like a whole brain.
The corpus callosum, correct. That's fascinating.
Like, genius, highly advanced people.
Mm-hmm.
It
makes me wonder too. You know, you guys were talking about the paleo diet too earlier, and I just bought a book on. It's called The Genotype Diet by Dr. Peter D. Adamo. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Well, apparently it's where your diet is highly influenced by your blood types and specific properties that make us all unique. For example, if you're a type O blood type, then your body is highly acidic, and you actually need more protein in your diet so the acid can do its work. Now, that's not to say that type O positive people shouldn't eat fruits and veggies, but it really makes you wonder about blood types, RH values, and planets of origin where we all came from, such as Pleiades, Arcturus, etc. You know, perhaps certain soul families have high protein diets while other ones have a diet high in fruits and veggies.
Right. Well, I have heard about, you know, eat right for your type, for your blood type, and that makes, it makes perfect sense, because O being the oldest, and originally man was probably mostly carnivorous because
he hadn't learned how to farm, and then as he learned how to farm and grow, it evolved and got into the A, and I don't know if that stands for agriculture. I don't know where the numbers, I mean, the letters actually come from, but they're, through our evolution and our blood has changed, and then there's the extraterrestrial influences,
definitely,
you know, the missing link, and genetic connections to off-world planets. It's intriguing. So truly, when what Anastasia was saying is, you know, the one-size-fits-all diet, that's just mass marketing at work.
Yeah, and you know, that's like saying, I guess they keep readjusting the cholesterol number. Now they're saying 175 or maybe even 200 is okay now, but that's just a number. I mean, for each person, it really depends. I know people that could probably have a cholesterol of 400 and be perfectly healthy, while other people, you know, if they hit 160, they might croak. Who knows? It also makes me wonder if we have an affinity to specific foods that are indigenous to our place of origin before our planet was seeded here by our galactic neighbors and friends.
Absolutely. You know, I have a really strong predispensation towards chocolate, and that came from the Pleiades. And I've
there
got the
go.
Mark of the Pleiades on my chart, so sure, you know, I'll go with that.
Yeah, so it's really fascinating. You know, our history, as you guys also mentioned, our history has been so hidden from us. And I'll be having on N5D Radio, I'll be having Graham Hancock as one of my guests in the near future. So I can't wait to ask him a bunch of questions like this, just to pick his mind about what he thinks about our origins, and more from a metaphysical standpoint than anything else.
Right. Well, you know, you have I've spent some time on your website, and it just goes on forever. There are so many areas and layers and facets, and you know, the best of the best of the leading, you know, progressive thinkers, and you've just got this amazing network where there's something for everyone on your website. So well done.
Exactly. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, you know, I try not to leave any soul behind.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, there are so many different races with genetic experiments on the planet, because really, when you get to be so evolved that you've mastered everything, conquered everything, you know, within yourself, and you've come to this place of very high consciousness and, you know, the fifth dimensional universal love vibration, what do you do to challenge yourself, to amuse yourself, or to occupy yourself? Well, you raise up a family. Only in their style, you know, you plant your genetic material on a planet, and then you try to start another civilization to follow in your footsteps. It's really a bigger version of raising a family. So with so many different families and bloodlines on the planet, there is so many people that actually have combinations, because just as above, so below, working hand in hand with Pleiadians and Arcturans and Antarians and Andromedans and all of, you know, Syrians, Orions. There really is a United Nations within most of us.
Oh, yeah. And what a lot of people don't understand, too, is just simply looking at somebody, you're exchanging codes. To see a person's face, you're exchanging codes. It's almost like seeing a crop circle. You don't really have to understand what it says, but somewhere internally, you're getting it all. You're absorbing it, and there's codes and certain things within your DNA that are being activated.
Well, that's true, and it kind of goes back to the brain changing, where you perceive all of that. And on some level, you know, we remember every word we've ever heard and every sight we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It's in there somewhere, whether we have access or not, is debatable. But
that's evidence through past life regressions. When people have these, and they're recalling in detail all these past lives, and then historians will go back through the records and say, oh, my God, this person was actually that person. You know, and it makes you wonder, you know, how people – it always amazes me, too, how people associate their names and their titles. You know, I'm Greg Prescott. I'm a child and family therapist. I'm a webmaster. I'm this and I'm that. No, I'm not any of that. I'm just a spiritual being. You know, a lot of people don't get that. They don't understand. You know, these are just titles, but, you know, who was I beforehand in however many incarnations? You know, we were all different. We were all male, female, different people, different everything. And, you know, right now this is the experience I chose, but, you know, who knows what I'll be the next time. Hopefully it's on a higher vibrational planet. But if not, I'm going to make the best of it while I'm here.
Well, you know, only the most brave of us raised our hand and qualified to come here and walk around in a human suit.
And we're in the butt right now.
Well, you know, we knew the job was dangerous when we took it, but the people who are waking up and grabbing onto these concepts like you're talking about is so critically important for the shift that we are going through.
Yes. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I wrote an article. Remind me again, why did I incarnate to this shithole? I'm sorry if I used that language on your show, but that's the plain truth. And this is one of the kind of article that I like writing because it really reaches a lot of people. Because people are asking themselves, I did not agree to this. Yeah, you did. They just don't remember that they did. But the thing is, when we were on the other side, it seemed like it was going to be so easy. And we made these huge soul contracts thinking, okay, I can do that, I can do this, I can do that, throw everything in front of me. Because at that point in time, you know, you're just living in this high vibration. Everything is all love, and that's all the only thing that there is. We forgot what it was like to be here in this third-dimensional reality. And once we finally came here and we see all this stuff that's getting thrown at us, we agreed on this. This is stuff that we wanted to help us expedite our spiritual progression.
That's right. And also to make a contribution and and have a role in history and in helping make this transition from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius. So how deeply do you follow astrology?
Oh gosh. Well, you know, I guess I'm kind of like an amateur, but I really find it so absolutely fascinating. And one of the things I love talking about on N5D is Pluto in Capricorn, because that's really unfolding everything that's going on right now. When I made a video in 2008, and it was called Banking Collapse Announces the Beginning of the Golden Age. And a lot of people gave me flack for it back then because they didn't understand the big picture. And what was going on is that right on cue in 2008, Pluto entered Capricorn, and it stays there until 2023. And right on cue, when Pluto entered Capricorn, we had all these collapsing of the banks, except the too big to fail banks, of course. But it wasn't a coincidence. Now, just to backtrack a little, I remember back in 2007, I think it was, when I heard about this rare astrological alignment that was going to occur in 2011. And the last time that this alignment occurred was during the Summer of Love. And I told my daughter at the time, I told her that, I said, watch, I guarantee tie-dye is going to make this huge comeback and right on schedule. You've seen it, you know, throughout the years since then. It's made this huge comeback. And you knew it was going to happen. And that's what really sold me on, you know, the cycles of time and stuff that happens. Now, flash forward up to Pluto and Capricorn, you know, what we're seeing right now is we're going to see a collapse of religion, money, and government, and it's all collapsing right before our eyes. And you get these people that are freaked out. Well, you know, what are we going to do if there's no such thing as money? Well, that inspired me to write an article, if there was no such thing as money. You know, people think that that's everything, but, you know, take the money away, and we're still going to survive, and we'll probably get along much better.
Well, I know that with Pluto... Pluto is a planet of great transformation, and it's like nuclear power. It's neither good nor bad. It's just transformative. It will rake over
anything that is shabbily built, in disrepair, you know, the house of cards kind of thing, structures that are fit and, you know, in good condition, it won't touch them. But only the things that are built questionably, that's where Pluto just comes in, and it's and it can be ruthless. And certainly Capricorn is about the practical earth matters and money and that. And an interesting thing that at the same time, Saturn is in Scorpio. And I'd have to actually consult with Lavendar, but when I saw that, it's like, well, isn't that interesting? Pluto is in Capricorn, and Pluto is the ruler of Scorpio. And Saturn is in Scorpio, and Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn. So Saturn is about structure, and it's about rules and regulations and propriety. I kind of you think of it as that cosmic taskmaster that, you know, makes you eat your vegetables and do things the right way, because it really is the right way, but it's no fun. And there it is in Scorpio, which is about transformation, transmutation, regeneration, and resurrection. And there's a similarity there that's going on at the same time. And I know that they have to have some connection in both kind of achieving the same thing. So,
well, it's interesting because we're entering the holiday season, and before Christmas, as you probably know, there was a religious, not necessarily religious, but there was a pagan ceremony called Saturnalia, which was a week of total debauchery, drunkenness, stuff like that, and it ended up getting co-opted by the Christians, who you know, said, "Hey, we'll combine these together," but it ended up being solely Christmas and, you know, the story of Jesus and all the religious stuff that goes along with that. But I find it all fascinating, you know, where it was actually a celebration of Saturn in its origin.
Mm. Well, you know, the winter solstice is a very holy day, and there is a lot of serious spiritual connections, especially going, you know, into back as far as the pagans who lived according to the goddess, the earth mother, very much connected to nature. And this was a day of great celebration. And, of course, just like you said, you know, the Christians needed to overshadow that. So I don't know how much of the debauchery stories was, you know, like Christian propaganda, but it was a contrivance. Jesus, I seriously doubt, was born on December 25th.
I have my doubts on that,
the
too.
The thing is, Jesus came here to show us a better way, because we were in trouble back then, too. You know, and he came to basically save us from ourselves. And of course, then that got all contorted and distorted and twisted.
I'm sorry, my dog's barking. I have a barking puppy in the background. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. you know, and I don't know, have you noticed, or anyone else that's listening noticed, that this year there is just blatant, flagrant consumerism, not really mind control. Mind control is very, like, it happens and you're not aware that it's happening most of the time. But this is just blatant. I heard the JCPenney Christmas jingle. I just about threw up because it was sickening, you know. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I heard a disconnect there. Yeah, nope. Yeah, I mean, they're singing like to jingle bells. They're singing shop, 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 shop. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, oh my God.
That's not even slick.
It's like that movie They Live with Roddy Piper. I don't know if you saw that, but he gets that pair of glasses and all it says is consume and, you know, obey and everything like that. And that's so typical of what you're explaining right now with that JCPenney commercial. Shop, 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 you know?
Well, they're not even bothering to go subliminal.
That's
oh, not
blatant
at all.
In your face, and I just thought, oh my God, they are. It's like that element of our society, the greed corporate thing. It's like going down kicking and screaming. They're not even trying to be clever or slick or unnoticed. They're just right out there exposing themselves really for who they really are. And that's part of the collapse. You're really
definitely
part
and
of the collapse.
I think a lot of this goes back to what we were talking about too. They know a lot more than what we're being told. And perhaps they do know that there might be something going on with the hemispheres of our brains, that something will get unleashed, or I guarantee that those that are, you know, and the powers that be, or so what they're called, they are all master astrologers, and they know the power of Pluto and Capricorn. Now, Pluto is going to tear down everything that is not in humanity's best interest. And a lot of people will say, you know, because it's called the destroyer, it's a bad thing, but it's not. And I think you explained it perfectly. You know, it really gives us the opportunity to rebuild everything in humanity's best interest. So, you know, when people say, as a matter of fact, I just had this on Facebook a couple of days ago. Somebody sent me a message saying, well, you know, you wrote this article about the banking collapse and everything, and I'm kind of freaking out about it. And all he read was the doom part. But there's so much positive that I put in there saying that it needs to collapse in order for us to rebuild it with something that's in humanity's best interest. And that, number two, he was focusing too much on the fear and not putting enough time into the positive things that are going on in this world, because everything's going to happen the way it's going to happen. And I do believe that everybody should probably have at least 3 weeks of supplies, you know, food, water, health supplies, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. just in case. I'm not saying that from a fear factor perspective or anything like that. It's just common sense. You know, the dollar is inevitably going to die, and there's going to be a period of time where things are going to be a little shaky. But when we come out of this, we're going to take a quantum leap forward. I mean, we're looking at the release of suppressed technologies and everything. So it's going to be a short period of time where things might get a little shaky, but we're going to end up, like the Hopi said, we are the ones that we have been waiting for. It's going to be amazing. So it's really exciting that everything that Pluto and Capricorn has to offer.
Right, right. And it has, as I said, it's got a connection. Saturn has a connection in there just because it moves a little more quickly than Pluto, but it really is going to also people that how can I say this that this is going to come off wrong. People who abuse sacred union
mm-hmm.
will really
okay.
jerked up really quickly, if you know what mm-hmm. I mean. You know, people who do not, people who think that that sexual intercourse is a recreational sport, you know,
mm-hmm.
those kind of things are going to come into a new light as well. You know, it's a different energy and respect for Goddess. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've also got Venus in Capricorn too, so that is about. using your money wisely, and it's always a good idea to have supplies. I mean, even, you know, if you live in an area where you could get snowed in, or there could be, you know, rain or any kind of other natural occurrence, it's always a good idea to have backup supplies, just being good Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently there's a party going on in Capricorn.
Yeah, well, you know, Pluto only destroys that which is broken but still trying to function.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that is working well in service to mankind. Those things are not going to be destroyed. It's not like a nuclear bomb.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that which needs to go is going down.
Mm-hmm.
And
now,
really, you
go
don't
ahead.
Have to do anything. You don't have to go out and protest and march with signs, because it's going to happen whether you do that or not.
I completely agree. Okay. I completely agree. Now, where is Pluto on your birth chart? On your natal birth chart? Yeah.
It's in the fifth house.
It's in which?
In
but
Leo.
For example, I'm okay, in Leo. I love the Pluto in Leo generation. half of your generation really got it, and the other half are like the ones that are really tearing down the society as we know it. But your generation was the ones that really lit the fire for every other generation afterwards, you know, with the whole hippie movement and everything else, you know, and you guys were the ones that really got it. And the ones, those of you who remain true to yourselves, thank you from the bottom of my heart and for every other generation that followed. You guys are amazing. Thank you.
Oh, well, you know, yeah, I mean, you're right. I think of social attitudes as I was growing up, and there was a division where at one point everybody was, you know, tear down the establishment, and then little by little they got absorbed into it, and they actually mm-hmm. made things worse.
And, yeah, they're the CEOs right now of a lot of the banking companies and, you know, a lot of the powers that be. They're also in that age group. But those of you who stood true and have remained true, you're the ones that really are the foundation, the founding mothers and fathers of the Golden Age, really. I mean, because if you had all gone the way of the other half, who knows where the rest of us would be right now?
Well, thank you. You're welcome. Each generation builds on the prior generation, and hopefully they will build on the good foundation rather than the one that was using substandard, you know, building materials and subcode and all that. But those buildings are going to fall down. You know, as I keep telling
definitely.
Through the show, we are going to have a golden age where mm-hmm. all the things that we say, this just isn't right, this just shouldn't be this way, they're all going to get right. They're all going to get it right. Everything is going to happen. It's just the stars and the planetary energies are, that's their job, you know, and you can go with it or you can try to fight it. But there's not one single person on this planet or one single corporation that is stronger than a planet. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's best to just try to maintain your own balance, your own gratitude, and do the best that you can for, you know, the people around you, and just hold steady. Just hold steady.
Now, I'm in the Pluto in Virgo generation. And to those of you who are listening right now, it's really important that you understand where Pluto is on your birth chart, because that's going to show you what your major challenges in life are going to be. And this is a great example, too, because I do have, and just for the record, Pluto in Virgo generation goes from 1957 until mid-1972 or so. So if you were born anywhere between those days, 1957 and 1972, you're in the Pluto and Virgo generation. Now, this is how it works. Pluto will keep throwing you things in your face until you finally get it right. So my thing was control. Now, both of my parents are Virgos, and my mother is a type A, controlling personality. So eventually that was going to be my lesson, but I just didn't get it when I was growing up. So I end up marrying a type A controlling person who had a sign that was compatible with mine, but we had to get together in order for us to produce my daughter, and we ended up divorcing. And then because I still at that point didn't get that I needed to confront the type A control freak, I married a second one who was not only a Virgo but born on the same day as my mother. This is how the universe works. And it couldn't have been more obvious. She was also a type A controlling personality, born on the same day as my mother. So what Pluto in Virgo was telling me, and this is just for myself, and you got to look at it for your own you know, individual perspective. But for what it was telling me was that I needed to confront the type A controlling personality in my life, which was my mother, which I did. And, you know, since then, my mom is probably my biggest supporter for N5D and everything that I've done. So, you know, it's really important to look at where Pluto is on your birth chart and to understand why certain things are coming into your life. Now, a lot of us who do have Pluto and Virgo are going to find that there are some controlling relationships that you've had throughout your life. So you want to make sure that you address these, because you don't want to come back in another lifetime to have to learn that lesson that you have the opportunity to learn in this lifetime. So
right,
be sure
right,
to check
like
out where Pluto
agreed.
Is in your life. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to go back and do that grade over again. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, certainly we have, even as extraterrestrial starseed souls living in human form, in the human experience, one of the things that we knew, it's really easy to come to this planet. It's very hard to leave. Because once we get down here, we get embroiled in karma. And you have to work it all out before you can get your passport stamped for, you know, exodus. So it's really, really important to leave people better than you found them and always take the high road so that you don't have
to
you don't have to add to your list of things to do before you can truly go home.
You know, Dolores Cannon was talking about that. She said one of the greatest ways to accumulate karma is to have children. And I'm like, you know, if it wasn't for my daughter, I don't think N5D would exist, honestly. My daughter was a blessing. So I don't necessarily agree with that aspect of what she said, but I do love Dolores Cannon. She's amazing. We actually did interview her on N5D Radio, too, and had a blast with her. It was fun. It was a good reading.
Yeah, I met her at a conference, and she is so right on, tuned in, you know, the ultimate wise woman. And I've often wanted Lavendar and her to get together radio interview. I think that'd be a great show.
Oh, yeah, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I can see how, you know, children are going to add a thread to your karma, but a lot of times they come to teach us things too.
Exactly.
You know, so
exactly.
You got to, you know, weigh the, it's like, yeah, but I wouldn't have this if I didn't have that, and hopefully raising children who can continue on in the same vein as parents with a very forward view.
Well, you know, another thing, too, is that we needed to bring in our little indigo and crystal children. Now, I have a daughter who has a Pluto and Scorpio. Now, for anyone who's listening, if you have a child that's born between 1983 and 1995, they have Pluto and Scorpio, and what's going to happen, and I guarantee most of you have probably seen this in your kids, they've already gone through or are going through the dark night of the soul at a young age, and it's really a blessing. They're going to really hit the wall at a young age, and you feel badly for them, and you got to let them fall. You have to. As badly as you want to stand there and catch them, you have to let them fall, because they're going to bounce back so much more powerful and stronger once they get through this dark night of the soul. And these, from Pluto and Scorpio and the Pluto and Sagittarius and now the Pluto and Capricorn children that are being born, these are the kids that are really going to take what we've all done and just go miles ahead of us. So encourage them, supportive of them, and love them as much as you can, because these are our future leaders.
They are, and don't medicate them.
Yes. Keep away from GMOs, no fluoride, no aspartame.
Right. You know, I was thinking that when Anastasia was doing the news about that Swedish study on food, and I'm thinking, but in Sweden, I don't believe they allow GMO, and you know, bacon may be very healthy over there, but over here it's full of chemicals. So, you know, y'all need to read your labels.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's funny, too. I just bought a 12-week-old, well, he was 10 weeks old at the time, a German Shepherd puppy. And I got it from a breeder who breeds holistically, and the only food that the dogs ate was holistic dog food, and that's the intention that I wanted. So now I have this little puppy who gets organic treats, and I'm looking at him right now. I have this 6-foot copper pyramid in the center of my living room, and when I'm not under it, I put his dog bed there, and he's right there right now chewing on a dog bone in the center of the pyramid.
Wow. And is it a functional pyramid?
Yeah, it's a copper frame pyramid. So it's wonderful for meditating. There's all sorts of wonderful benefits that you get out of meditating under a copper pyramid. And it's built to the exact degrees of the pyramids at the Giza Plateau. And you can find it online. I found it online somewhere for like $130.
Yeah, I mean they have amazing properties, and they generate energies, but I wouldn't let him lay in there all the time because it does dehydrate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it can mummify. You know,
that's not...
the mummies. You have to draw out all the moisture to preserve them. And if you put fruit under a pyramid, it will dehydrate, and it won't rot. It'll be last a long, 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 long time. But it is, I think the word is desiccating when you take the moisture out of it. So don't let him hang out in there too long.
Oh, no, no. We actually went to the dog beach earlier today, and then we went for a long walk. And, yeah, he gets spoiled. He's my little organic puppy.
Yeah, oh, that's sweet. So I want to talk a little bit about this conference coming up because this is a big deal. So tell me about that.
Okay. Well, there goes. Apparently my puppy wants to tell you about them. We have a conference coming up. It's the City of Angels Cosmic Awakening Conference in Los Angeles on January 25th through 26th, 2014. And it features 6 high vibrational speakers, including Coast to Coast AM's George Norrie. A lot of you also know... apparently my puppy likes George Norrie. We also have Bashar, who is Daryl Anka. We have Laura Eisenhower, Barbara Lamb, Dr. Dream, and Nora Harold. So we're going to be interviewing most of them beforehand on N5D Radio, so be sure to check that out. Now, this conference is about the exchanging of soul codes and starseed codes, along with the transference of energy, as Los Angeles is on a major ley line as well. And think about this. Every person, and we were talking about this earlier, every person you interact with, you're exchanging soul codes with. So when you get these kind of high vibrational people, so many of these high vibrational people together at an event, there's going to be an amazing exchange of codings going on, not to mention an amazing list of speakers throughout the weekend. Now, the ley lines are similar to human DNA, and it's believed that the ley lines help to facilitate the transmission of the memories held by the land into our cellular memory through our DNA. And so what we're going to be doing is reconnecting with places on the ley lines that intersect to bring our bodies into balance and return the memories of who we once were. So that there's a lot that's going to be going on behind the scenes at this conference by just gathering all these like-minded people together. So it's really exciting to be on a ley line, to have so many high vibrational speakers, and it's going to be a really great time for everyone. I guarantee it.
Well, there's certainly some very distinguished people collected, and anybody, we have a lot of listeners out that way on the West Coast, and you said it's the 25th through the 27th?
6th. 25th and 26th. Yeah, okay. And you can find out more information about it at www.n5devents, events.com. Or you can just go to n5d.com. You can see a banner there for it.
Okay, because I misquoted on the intro to the show, because I think in the email you had put January 29th. So correction on that, it's not the 29th. And anyone can go to your website and get all the particulars about that.
Right.
So We have a caller that has a question for you. Would you entertain that idea?
Sure.
Okay.
Definitely.
We are going to be talking to Mary Anya. And you're on the air, Mary Anya. Hello? Do you have your mute button on by chance? I've got your microphone open. Mary Anya, are you still there?
Yes, it's still on. Okay,
okay.
Hi, this is Mary Anya. I'm talking away.
Hi, Mary Anya.
Hi, this is a really fascinating conversation. And and I had to look up, my Pluto is in Leo, right next to Mars in the 10th house. And
okay.
So I'll have to figure out what that means. But
okay.
But what I'm most interested in was Ariel had mentioned about casual sex, and this is a time to really be stopping that, is what I heard, and I'm paraphrasing, of course. It's something that I've been thinking, you know, it's really important that I not mix casually with anyone, because it's taking on their energy and perhaps even the soul code that you mentioned. I would think that would be part of it too, but I'd like to hear more about that. What your opinion, knowledge about that, and also Ariel's, that you know, the ramifications, the more importantly, why you would want to, you know, really keep your energy pure within yourself. Am I making sense at all? Or
yeah, exactly. As a matter of fact, if you look up Santo Spinacci, he talks about that, especially for the male, but it works the same for the female. He said that you need to remain as celibate as possible, because that seed helps to it somehow travels up into the pineal gland and helps to open the third eye the more you remain celibate. Now, conversely, Barbara Marciniak will tell you that, you know, what you end up doing is sharing and exchanging codes through sexual exchange. And, you know, and then that's one way of getting deeper codes, apparently, from other people. So, I mean, ultimately, you want to do... You want to listen to yourself. I mean, you can listen to what other people say. It's kind of like the debate between Ashayana Dean and Drumvlo about which way the Merkaba spins, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They both say it's the opposite way. So, I mean, who's right? And you can say the same thing for Santos or Barbara Marciniak. You know, I can understand both rationales that they have, but, you know, what do you think, ultimately? How do you feel, Mariana?
Well, I'm really, I'm feeling like my energy is better being celibate, that mm-hmm. I'm truer to myself in that way, and that's part of the relationship dance that happens, how can I say that? In being a certain woman, that, and I happen to be single, that mm-hmm. that having my energy purely for my use, for my meditation, for my creativity, for working with my clients, that I'm better off by myself. And if I were with a partner that added to me and we were on, you know, the same path, perhaps soulmates, that mm-hmm. then we would create more together. But until that happens, then I prefer to stay celibate, because I just, it's like all of my awareness of myself seems to be much clearer and better, where, you know, I grew up, I was a young person, and all of those reasons, all the things, the rebelling part, that I believe that any person that I'm intimate with, that I'm taking on all the energy of their stuff, their past lovers, and it's not good for me. It's not, I don't want to muddle up my system that way. And yes, I eat organically and I don't eat GMOs, and it's like the road is really getting narrower about the choices. And I would, it's not easy, but it's also, it's a preference to stay on a path that feels better overall, that there's no regrets, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, if I want to eat Boston cream pie, I'm just going to enjoy it. There's no regrets or problems with it, but I
good
don't
girl.
Want to eat it every day.
No.
Right?
You know, I think the same thing about pizza. I love pizza, but you know damn well that it's not GMO, that it's not organic tomatoes that they're using in the sauce. And occasionally I'm going to have that, but you know, what you're talking about is, you know, is basically sexual roulette, because you don't know what kind of coding you're going to be picking up from the other person when you do end up having sex with that person. So when that time does come, you know, get to know the person. And, you know, if they're a higher vibrational being, chances are you're okay. But also, more than anything, listen to yourself. And I think you've done a good job of doing that. And I think you already know the answer, but you just kind of needed the confirmation.
Well, sure, and it's a question that I think is a lot of people have on their minds, that that casual sex or friends with benefits. It's all about feeling good. Well, I think if you know, for me, developing my inner awareness is going to give me way more
good feeling.
You know, than a casual relationship or just, you know, that brief moment of physical intimacy. And there's more to it, you know. I lean more towards the priestess that, okay, once a year she would come together with a man for a purpose. And the rest of the year, they're holding the space for everyone. And so there's a reason for that it wasn't talked about so much in growing up in the Catholic Church or celibacy or those kind of things. It was all kind of distorted because there was never any real good reasons about it. And so as I mature, I'm thinking that there really is, there's a deeper meaning that I'd like to really discover what it is. And
you're on the right path.
You know, the hardest part is finding the compatibility with somebody. Even if you know nothing about them, your sign has to be compatible with their sign. For example, I'm a Libra and I'm an air sign, and I get along great with fire signs. So my daughter's a fire sign, so her and I get along wonderfully. And but my girlfriend is an air sign, so we get along great, or a fire sign, and we get along great too. But when you look at that, say, okay, 50% of the population is male, 50% is female. Only half of that population is going to be compatible air signs, or I'm sorry, zodiac signs, element signs. So that leaves you 25% of the population without even knowing the person, whether they're a high vibrational being or not, that's going to be compatible with you. So, and then, you know, you look into this genre and, you know, let's be, you know, there's a lot of you know, if you're looking for a male companion, there's a lot of people males that are in this genre who are gay. We'll just say it straight out. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm not, you know, paraphrasing Seinfeld or anything because of that. But, you know, so the amount of people, the amount of viable partners are relatively slim. But you know what? That one is going to come along when you at least expect it. So you keep doing what you're doing, and before you're going to bump into some guy, or you know, you're going to meet some guy at a conference, like in Los Angeles, maybe at the end of January.
Yeah, maybe. And see, I was celibate for 5 years and met someone a couple years ago. That, I mean, there were so many things that were compatible with, and even had our charts done and to show everything. But then there were certain things that were absolutely opposing. And so it's just, it's a different, I had to make choices about where I wanted to go with the relationship, and because of certain things, I ended it. But I just figured if God wants me to be with somebody, he'll be standing in front of me, and I won't have to search for him. It will happen because we'll be magnetically pulled together. But, you know, I do think that there's a lot of pheromones will drive you crazy. I mean, they drove me crazy. And so it's now I'm just back to where I was before I met him. So it's okay. And but I really think that there's a different that people really need to respect themselves enough to take their time, and the payoff will benefit them far more than just a quickie or whatever. And
right. Well, you know, I mean, the first goal is to be whole and complete by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be a complete person, be well-balanced, be well-grounded, be of service to humanity, be complete in yourself. And if and when you want a vibrational match for yourself, you basically just flip a switch and start feeling the gratitude for this person being in your life, and that can bring him in. But always go slow. I think you've got the right philosophy, Marianya. You've got the right philosophy, and you know, don't be needy, because
no.
if you need someone, that makes you weak.
Yep.
So you say, stay strong, and I really think that you have the right outlook. And there are more and more men that are waking up, and they are balanced. They're not the stereotypical ones that maybe, you know, like from the 70s with the, you know, the free love kind of thing. I mean, those days are over, and I think a lot of men are waking up, and it's very encouraging, but we still have a ways to go. There are a lot of people still asleep.
Yes. And I finished reading Kate Montana's book, and she talked about some really interesting aspects of relationships and just how young women are taught in other kind of, I think it was the Daguerre tribe, I might be saying it wrong, but that they were absolutely sacred, and men wouldn't even consider mistreating or abusing them. And part of her book, she was saying, you know, how would it have been if I had been raised that way, you know, in America? There would have been so much different. And I think that's a good question, and it's a place that I think that we're headed with the goddess energy coming more and more into the forefront of people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
That it is changing how a woman considers being treated, and the respect is utmost important, and that men are treating women differently as well. So it's a wonderful evolution to be watching.
And that's the thing, too. Right now, there's a lot of us that appreciate the divine feminine. That's in all of us, not just the
mm-hmm.
female, but the male. You know, and you're going to find guys that are out there that do understand the whole principle behind the divine feminine and the cycles that it goes through. Like right now, for example, we're at the end of the masculine cycle, and some people believe that it's like a 13,000-year cycle in the whole precession of the equinox thing, where we go through 1,300 years or 13,000 years of you know, the whole ego, you know, the macho BS thing, and it all ends up the same way. It ends up with war and, you know, people at odds with each other and a lot of hate and stuff. But as we're entering the divine feminine, we're getting that mixture of balance of energies right now. But the problem is, once we get to the end of that, we're going to see over-nurturing, and which will lead to malnutrition and starvation and stuff like that. So ultimately, what we need to learn from the cycles of time is how to balance these energies. And right now, we're entering that point where the men are understanding the divine feminine, and the woman have been living in the divine masculine. They already understand that aspect of it. So you guys are already way ahead of us, but we're getting it, and we're catching up quickly. But, you know, be patient with us. We're still putting it all together, and you're going to find that guy out there that does worship your divine feminine.
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Sure that you call in the show and give us an update if something like that happens, okay?
Oh, you bet.
Okay, I'd love to.
Thank you.
All right.
For calling in,
Mariana. Bye, Mariana.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, Greg, I do the Stage 1 Starseed Confirmations for our website, and I help to decipher through astrological codes and the star codes that Lavendar discovered and then taught to me what people's their rites of passage and their natural state, what they came here to do. And I would say probably almost half of the charts that I see are marked for the balancing of masculine and feminine. In different ways. And it mm-hmm. doesn't matter if it's a man's chart or a woman's chart. And I always mm-hmm. explain it the same way, regardless of who I'm talking to, because the men have to throw off the false programming that if mm-hmm. you show any kind of femininity, it makes you a girly man, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's just societal programming. And you know, the women being, you know, subservient, that was like 50s and 40s and even, you know, even before that programming. And that really started changing in the 60s, you know, with the bra burning and the women's movement. And it's been a very slow thing where women are actually taking on their masculine side.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's not about the women taking over, because what you said is exactly true and correct, and the ultimate is to have balanced individuals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowing when, you know, there's a time when you pull on your feminine side and there's a time when you pull on your masculine side, depending on what endeavor is at hand, and knowing the difference between the two is really the key. There's a time for nurturing, and it's always time for grace, regardless mm-hmm. of who you are and what the situation. Grace is always the vibration that I go for. And
forgiveness, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, grace and forgiveness is kind of...
Hand in hand, yeah.
Forgiveness is included in grace, and grace includes more than just forgiveness, but it's mm-hmm. A process that I'm seeing. And so many men are rejecting that programming and, you know, expressing themselves artistically, finding their intuition, being able to nurture children, mm-hmm. all of that, the qualities of mercy and unconditional love. And the women are finding their strengths, their courage, their ability to stand up and go out and do. But we just mm-hmm. have to make sure that we keep those two aspects in balance. And that really will hold us for the 1,000 years of peace that is prophesied for the age of Aquarius.
Mm. You know, it's funny. I had to laugh because when my daughter was born, and she's 19 right now, but when she was born, you know, I was your, you know, I had the whole macho thing, you know, brainwashing thing that was going on in my mind. And, She would curl up in a little ball on Sunday night and look at me with her little angel eyes and speak in this little angelic voice. She'd go, "Daddy, can I watch a little football with you?" And I'd go, "Sure, pumpkin." And 5 minutes later, she's running around doing anything else other than watching football. And what she was doing was manipulating me. And even as a child and family therapist, I can see this in other people, but it's tough when your own child is doing it to you. But the thing is that she broke down my whole macho side and showed me a side of myself that I haven't seen since I was a child. And I'm not going to let that go. You know, I am so grateful for her being born and for her agreeing to be my child, to come into this world, to show me and to teach me what the most important things in life are, you know. So I do have to disagree with Dolores Cannon with the whole thing about karma, because if it wasn't for Brittany, in 5D would not exist, period.
Well, they do, you know, and so if you have karma for lifetimes to come with this being, is that such a bad thing?
That's a great point. You know, so so if I have karma with my daughter, maybe the next time I'll be her son.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Would be kind of, but,
you know,
yeah.
it's. I mean, karma doesn't necessarily. It isn't synonymous with punishment.
You are correct.
And
yeah.
And I see people's charts all the time, and there's, you know, some of the aspects that I see. These people have miles of good karma. They're like totally in the black, I guess you could say, in that they have earned so much in past lifetimes that they get to reap some of that in having an easier time this life. So, yeah, karma is simply about balance. It's not about, it can be about punishment, but that's just the execution of balance and justice.
You know, that reminds me, too, about the birth charts, too. So if to those who are listening, one other thing you might want to check out on your birth chart are the retrograde planets. What planets were retrograde on your birth chart? Normally, you'll have 2, 3, or 4 different retrograde planets, and these are also going to show you what additional challenges or, as I'd like to say, opportunities that you'll have in your lifetime for spiritual progression. I was lucky. I was born without any, and you know, it's pretty rare not to have any. But I guess that's atypical. But you know, whatever you have, don't see it as a bad thing. You know, some people might have 4 or 5 of them, but look at that and try to learn from each one of those planets what the lesson is to be had, and you'll find that you're going to have certain things that have been coming through your life that are going to be associated with these certain things that are happening because of these planetary alignments that were in retrograde.
Right, and it often makes you reach and stretch where maybe it's easily within someone else's grasp. Maybe you have to stretch a little farther. But on a progressed chart, you could have a planet retrograde on your natal chart, and by progression, it reaches a point where it goes direct again. So it's not something that, it's something that at some point in your life, it's going to straighten up and you'll have the, it's like you climb up the mountain and then at one point you get to get on your toboggan and go for a great ride and everything is easy and you have all that momentum. So,
we all know about the Mercury retrograde too, and you know Mercury goes retrograde 3 or 4 times a year. So you're going to have probably 25% of the people that were born have Mercury retrograde, or maybe 20% or so have Mercury retrograde in their charts. So, and it's not a bad thing. Don't look at it as a bad thing.
Because when Mercury does go retrograde, those are the only people that are getting anything done.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, they're finally in their own flow, but it just simply means, I mean, when Mercury is direct and you have it retrograde on your chart, you just have to be more meticulous about your communications and making sure that you're understood, because there can be some scattering where you knew what you meant, but the other person didn't know what you mean, and then all kinds of things can happen from miscommunication. So if you know that, you know, awareness can be transcendence. So if you know that, you just develop habits of being very clear and then asking the person, it's like, you understand what the plan is here? And so you just have to put a little bit more effort into certain things.
Easier said than done.
Pardon me?
Easier said than done.
Oh, absolutely.
For a lot of people.
Absolutely. But remember, each one of us
chose the exact moment to come through that would give us that exact chart. So it wasn't just like you got a bad poker hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't random. It was deliberate. You chose your parents. You chose the moment. Mm-hmm. You chose everything. This is the suit that you decided to wear for reasons that your higher self is well aware of. And it's a vehicle that you needed to accomplish your purposes. And some of it could be, getting that PhD beyond your master's degree. And it's like, okay, I need to go in and put myself in a situation where I can really get onto those details and those higher points. So you did it on purpose. So, and it is really rare. I don't know that I've ever seen a chart with no retrograde planets.
Mm-hmm.
And even that in itself can be a detriment. Because if you don't have to work too much all of your life, things just come easy. If someday, you're really faced with something, then you haven't had that training ground to know how to weather the storm, that could also be one manifestation. And I don't know if you feel that, your life has been just a piece of cake. Most people don't.
But, no.
You know, sometimes if you come in with too many too much good karma and too much of this and everything is your way and everything is fine and you've never known any kind of lack or unhappiness, how deep can you be? How much can you really reach to other people who are in pain if you've never had it?
Uh-huh.
You know?
The thing is, I'm a huge introvert, and that doesn't mean I'm antisocial or reclusive or anything like that. I'm a big introvert, and I stay to myself. I work between 12 to 15 hours every day, 365 days a year, and I don't get out and about as much as I probably should, but I'm really happy doing this. I don't want to create any additional, karma or take on, as an empath, I don't want to be taking on other people's negativity and stuff like that, so... And here I am with a radio show and, as a personality with conferences and stuff like that. Introverts can do everything that an extrovert can do. We just prefer not to.
That's interesting. So do you have a lot of, do you have a lot of Gemini in your chart?
Actually, I don't recall. I'd have to go back and look at it. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, because just the way your website is just so full of information and the networking that you do, that's a typical Gemini kind of energy. But certainly, all of the air signs have that very, very cerebral approach to things and, learning how to do, web mastering, and that all comes naturally to most air signs.
The thing is, I was actually, the only way I can describe it is I received a galactic download of information, and what universe told me was to not only build a website, but they also told me the name of what I needed to name this website. And I knew nothing about being a webmaster. I had never built a website before, and I had to teach myself, but it came so quickly and easily. It's like sometimes when I write an article, you've heard of automatic handwriting, correct?
Yeah. But you've got automatic typing.
And there's times where I'll write this article, and it's and I'll look at it afterwards, and I'm like, oh, my God, I don't even remember writing this. And it's just this masterpiece that I honestly can't take credit for. It's the universe that I'm tapping into something. When these articles just come out and they come out so easily and fluently that, I get done. I'm like, thank you, universe.
Yeah. Lavendar does that too. And that is, it's like automatic typing. And it's a type of channeling.
Yes.
Although, it's not like you're letting someone inhabit your body, but you're allowing the thoughts to flow through you and into the keyboard. So that's great. And you have a lot of work that benefits a lot of people. And I've just so enjoyed talking with you that the time has just flown by. And so that means that you have to come back again.
Okay.
That would be great. That would be great because we didn't even get into a lot of subjects that we could have. So there's more left for later.
All righty.
Yes, and Lavendar will be back. In 4 years, I think she's only missed two shows. So, but this was her birthday solo return, and she just needed to create this sacred space. And so, happy solo return, Lavendar.
Yes.
And once again, in5d.com, and you have in5d radio, in5d.net, and I suppose if they go to in5, the number 5, and the letter D. .com that has links to everything else that you've got, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Right there. Also, there's something at the bottom of every page, there's a live chat. And you can go on there at 3 o'clock in the morning, no matter what time zone you're in, and there's going to be people chatting there 24/7, 365. So if you're really looking for like-minded people and you want to talk to somebody, anybody, about whatever it is that's on your mind, go to the bottom of any page on in5d.com, and you'll find people, like-minded people, to talk to.
I noticed that when I was on your site, and that's really, really great. And, of course, when you do that, you have to follow the rules.
Yeah, but it's all good rules. It makes it congenial and polite. And so, so definitely check that out.
Well, great. Well, Greg, I really, really am looking forward to your returning visit because we have so much more we can talk about.
Okay.
But I'm going to wrap it up for this evening with our thanks to you. And everyone, please visit Greg's website, check out the radio show, and you have many radio shows on in5D radio here on Blog Talk with various hosts, and you are also interested in other people that hosting on your show. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes, we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday open for potential new hosts on N5D Radio. So if you have any kind of a Blog Talk Radio experience, give me a shout.
Well, that's great, and thank you so much for opening the door for so many people.
My pleasure.
And I look forward to speaking with you again.
Sounds great. Namaste. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome, Greg. And I would also like to thank Chris and Fiona and Anastasia and all the people that are listening. Thank you so much for joining us. And we will be back next week. So take care. Have a great weekend. And see you soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.